God is a God who restores. He restores sevenfold. He gives you better than what you lost. He restores, and he restores. Welcome to Deeply Rooted with me, your hostess, Sinazo Goss. This is a podcast where we discuss and delve deeper into the intimate conversations we all have with our Heavenly Father. Welcome to it, beloved. Thank you so much for joining us once again. Thank you for your unending support. And we really see it. We see it in the numbers. We are growing immensely as a family. Your support doesn't go unnoticed. And we believe and trust that the work that we do here and produce every episode, you are drawing closer and closer to the Lord. So we really, really appreciate you. We appreciate your support. We appreciate just your presence and putting the word out there that Deeply Rooted is a podcast and it's existing. And it's literally helpful to those who listen week in and week out. So thank you once again. So as I said in the intro, today we're talking about restoration, the restoring nature of God, what it means to restore, and just looking at it from a biblical lens, because I mean, that's what we do here at Deeply Rooted. We answer everyday questions like nothing is off limits. We talk about it, but we talk about it through the lens of the Word of God, because we are a Christian podcast, and everything that we speak based on God's opinion, and you find God's opinion in His Word. So that's what we will be talking about today. So restoring, before we get to what the Word of God says, a simple definition of restoring, like if you would look it up on, you know, online or on the dictionary, you would see that in a nutshell, it means returning something to its original form or to its former nature or its previous stature or form, basically. So it's returning something that has changed for whatever reason, or something that has been destroyed for whatever reason, and returning it to its original form where it wasn't destroyed, where it was just okay in its perfect form, basically. So that's what restoring is. And God is a God that restores. You know, we see this many times in the Bible. That's one of His traits. That's one of His that's one of his character traits. He's a God who restores, right? We see it in many examples that I will get into, right? So God specializes in it. God specializes in making things new, right? If they had worn out, or if something had happened, some destruction had happened, God is a God who is able to turn every kind of situation, turn it around, take it back to its original form, or even make it better than it was initially before the destruction. So that is the kind of God that we serve. He's such an amazing Father. He's a good God, you know. So one of my favorite scriptures when it comes to this topic of restoration, and that's what I would like us to start with, you know, as we speak about this, is in the book of Joel, It's in the Old Testament. It's one. Joel was one of the prophets that God spoke through. So now he's speaking here during a time where, you know, Israel had actually experienced the consequences of their actions, because sometimes things go wrong in our lives, or we experience destruction or delay or whatever negativity because of our own actions. Sometimes it's not attacks from the enemy. Sometimes it's not punishment. Sometimes it's the consequences of our actions. It's the fact that we made choices that don't honor God. We strayed in directions that are away from God. And then now we see ourselves and we find ourselves experiencing the consequences of that. Because as much as God is a God who restores, God can restore whatever kind of situation. And I'll get into it right now. But as much as He restores, He also doesn't spare us from the consequences of our actions, unfortunately, right? So if there's something that you do, just know that whatever choice that you make, you may not be exempt from the consequences of your actions, you know. So this was a time where, you know, Israel was very disobedient to God. They were worshiping idols. They had watered down the true God. Even after seeing the wonders that God had performed for them, you know, they experienced plagues as a result of that. And these plagues ate up their crops. And I mean, during those times, guys, you can imagine people didn't work a 9-to-5 like us. You know, people's wealth and people's livelihood was dependent on their livestock, you know, their crops, growing plants and all of that, taking care of animals and making sure that that's where the food comes from. So now there was literally plagues of locusts, guys. Imagine like where you have a farm where you're planting plants or whatever else thing, but it's just locusts, you know, it's literally just locusts and they literally eat up everything. And now people don't have food. People are dying. It was a very dark time, you know, and this is because of the consequences of their actions. You know, they were disobedient. They were far from God. And when you're far from God, unfortunately, you do not get to experience the fullness of who God is. You do not get to experience his promises manifesting in your life because you're choosing to, you know, be one foot in and one foot out, you know. And God is such a loving God. He loves us so much that he wants us to be all in. When we choose him, when we choose to follow him, he wants us to be all in. He doesn't want us to be one foot in or one foot out. He doesn't want us to worship idols of any kind, you know, any other lifestyle that contradicts the word of God. He doesn't want us to follow that because he knows that we will not experience the fullness of who he is. We will not experience the fullness of what he has to offer, his promises, you know, the abundance of everything that God has to offer. When we are far from him, it's very hard to pray and have faith, first of all, because you feel like you're not worthy. The enemy does that. You know, when you're far from God, he does that, where he whispers in your ear that you're not worthy. And so then you don't pray, you don't have faith, and then things don't happen in your life, right? As opposed to you being close to God, prioritizing your relationship with God. You know, it's not to say that you have to be perfect and like you won't miss any prayer days, because I mean, life happens. But when your heart posture is in the right place, you know, when your heart posture is in the right place and you know that whatever's happening in your life, but God is still first place, you're still praying to God, you're still seeking God, and you're still in fellowship with God, you know, that's how God helps you then to walk consistently in right standing with him, right? So in this chapter, the book of Joel, the prophet Joel is speaking, right? And he's speaking words from God, right? So God spoke through prophets in the Old Testament, right? So in this chapter, I've explained the context of what was happening. It was a very dark time. So then the book of Joel chapter 2, verse 25 to 26, one of my favorite verses when it comes to restoration. So the verse says, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the great locust and the young locust, the other locust and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Absolutely love this chapter. So I explained that, you know, these people were in a very dark time experiencing the consequences of their actions, but because God is such a good God, he's such a merciful God that he's, you know, there's a verse in the Bible that says that his anger doesn't last. You know, his anger doesn't last. I mean, yeah, his anger doesn't last. That's what I mean to say. His anger doesn't last. Even if he sees that you guys are experiencing the consequences of your actions, but he will have mercy on us. He's a God whose mercies, you know, they endure forever. You know, they are fresh and new every morning. So he's always eager and looking forward to welcoming us back and restoring us, you know. So here he's saying that, guys, come back to me, repent, come back to me, because I want to restore you guys. I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. So all those years, like many years where they were experiencing this plague of locusts, where things were really dark, livestock was dying, the crops were dying because there was just this plague. God is saying that all those years, I want to restore that so that you will have plenty and you will eat until you're full. And then you will praise the Lord your God who has made this happen, you know. So God is calling the nation of Israel. He's calling his children back to him to say that, guys, I want to restore you. I want to do this. Come back to me, you know. So that's one of my favorite scriptures when it comes to restoration. You know, God restores. God is such a merciful God, to the point where when you return to him, I mean, remember, you know, the prodigal son, when he strayed away from God and he lived a life that doesn't honor God. He strayed away from his father, rather, because that's the parable that Jesus made. You know, God, I mean, the father representing God in this context, right? So he strayed away from God and he strayed away from his father. And then he experienced the consequences of his actions as well. But then he came to a point of remembering that actually in my father's house, there's plenty to eat. I will never be in lack. If I go back to my father's house, there's literally so much to eat. And the father welcomed him with open arms. And from that day on, obviously, he never went hungry again because he's at home, right? So God is able to restore us from the consequences of our actions, like the children of Israel in this context. He's able to restore us when things have been stolen from us, because sometimes the hurtful things that we go through, sometimes the unfortunate things, the negativity we go through is not because of us. Sometimes it's the unfairness of people. Sometimes it's the theft of people. People have stolen things that were valuable to us. Sometimes life has just been unfair, where you've just seen things, you know, happening to you, and for years you've struggled, you know. Sometimes there's just painful experiences that happened, you know, to you, and time wasted, you know, time can go and years can go by. But God is able to restore every single thing, whether it was your consequences, whether it was someone else's fault, whether it was the unfairness or the painful experiences of life, whatever it is, God is a God that restores. There's no situation that's too dark or too far gone for God to restore. God restores each and every single situation. He's able to restore even your situation. You may be looking at your situation right now and thinking that, you know what? I don't know, man, like so much time has gone, so much time has been wasted, so many years have been wasted. But God says, guys, I can restore all the years that the locust has stolen, all those years, no matter how long it's been, where things have been negative in your life, where things have been unfair and painful in your life. When you bring your situation before God, God says, like literally every word that God speaks, whether he spoke it in the Old Testament, New Testament, making a promise to one of his disciples or prophets or his children, we are also recipients of such promises, because it's a reflection of who God is. It's a reflection of his character and what he's able to do, right? So he's a God that restores every kind of situation. He restores years that were stolen, years that literally were destroyed. God is able to restore it, right? And I'm just going to look at a few examples that just show God's restoring nature. You know, one of the most popular scriptures in the Bible, the book of Psalm 23, we know it, we all know it, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? There's just a verse that I want to just to highlight, just one verse from Psalm 23 that I want to highlight, and it also speaks to God's restoring nature, right? So it's verse 3, right? It's actually one verse, just one verse. Psalm 23 verse 3. He restores my soul. That's what David says, that the Lord is my shepherd. From the top, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. So even when it's not necessarily situations where you felt like, you know, you've experienced unfairness or pain or just destruction and you need restoration, it's not only situations, but sometimes it's also internally where you feel like you've been so broken to the point of no return. You may think that it's to the point of no return, but when you bring yourself before God, when you bring your soul, because your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, when you bring that before God, God is able to literally work inside of you and restore you to your original self. You know, I've heard people that say, when I received Christ as my Lord and Savior, I literally got back my innocence. You just feel that childlike innocence, you know, that joy that was stolen, and you just don't know where it's coming from, because for so many years you felt like your joy is gone, your joy has been stolen, you know. But when God comes into your situation, or when God comes into your heart, when you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, he works inside of you. He restores your joy. He restores your soul, you know. And then another chapter that I like referring to when I speak of God's restoration is in the book of Jeremiah chapter 18, right? And I don't think I'm going to read all of it, but I'm sure some of you guys know the chapter and what it's about, right? So in fact, let me just read it. It's 7 verses. I'll just go through it very quickly. So it's the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18. Jeremiah is also one of God's prophets from the Old Testament, because God raised the prophets many times in the Old Testament to warn his people, to comfort his people. So Jeremiah was one of those people, right? So in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, verse 1 says, and I mean, the title of the chapter says, the parable of the porter, right? So verse 1 says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord is saying, arise and go down to the porter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the porter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was mud in the hand of the porter. So he made it again another vessel, as it seemed good to the porter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this porter, says the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the porter's hands, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. So basically here in a nutshell, Jeremiah is sent to the porter's house. Like, if you guys know pottery, like people that, I think there's still people who are porters in this day and age, you know, those kind of people that make dishes and furniture out of clay, right? So that's basically a porter. So then God was like, Jeremiah, go to the porter, I want to show you something. And then he went there, and then he saw that the porter was basically making these dishes, potteries, if I can call them that, or these furnitures out of clay, like these vases and, you know, these different kind of ornaments, basically, right, out of clay. And whenever he would see that, okay, I don't like how this vase looks, let me just remake it into a different form, right? And then God says, can I not do what the porter is doing to you, to my children, right? In a sense that if I don't like their current form, I can remake it in a way that pleases me, where I look at it and I'm pleased. In the same way that the porter looks at the piece of furniture or the vase or whatever he's making and says, you know what, I'm pleased. I've fixed this, I've mended it, I didn't like it before, but now I'm pleased, right? So that speaks again of God's restoring nature. You know, God literally, when we give ourselves to him, when we give our lives to him and everything, that's why you must not leave anything behind when you come to Christ. Even the deepest traumas, don't hide them, bring them before God in prayer. Talk to God honestly about them, right? When you bring them before God, God is able to work inside of you first, like your heart and your posture, your soul. He's able to work inside of you to the point where he transforms you, right? And you see that transformation happening. And where God sees that, okay, you know what? This situation is actually not as to the T as I wanted it. Let me remake it to the point where it's to the T. Or where he sees your soul and he sees your heart and says, you know what? This person's heart is actually not as healed. Let me work it. Let me restart, you know? So that's basically another chapter that shows us God's restoring nature. And there's many chapters in the Bible, there's many verses in the Bible that shows that God is a God who restores, right? And one of my other favorite stories when it comes to, you know, restoring is the story of Joseph. Some of you may know the story of Joseph, but now Joseph, not the father of Jesus, because there's also a Joseph in the Old Testament, right? Way before the father of Jesus, the earthly stepfather of Jesus, right? So the Joseph I'm referring to is the one in the book of Genesis, right? So just to summarize the story, some of you may know it. Joseph was, he had brothers, right? I'm not sure how many. I think four, if I'm not mistaken. As I said, I'm just summarizing the story, so I'm not looking at the facts, you know. But he had brothers and he was loved dearly by his father. And at some point, his father made him a colored robe. And his brothers were very jealous of him. For some reason, his brothers were jealous of him. They plotted against him. At some point, they sold him to slavery. He was thrown in a pit. He was thrown in prison. And from the prison, he went to work at a palace. And in that palace, there was a guy called Potiphar. And Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph, and she spinned around a story to say that it was Joseph that actually came onto her. And then Joseph went back to prison. From prison, Joseph had a gift of interpreting dreams. So then he interpreted the dreams of the king of the time, if I'm not mistaken. And then through his gift, then he was released from prison. And then from that time, he was made the ruler of the area, right? Or the right-hand man of the king. But he was literally elevated to a position that he never even imagined, to the point where even his brothers that betrayed him literally came to him in fear, thinking that, okay, Joseph is probably mad at us because he went through so much hardships because of us, right? But then Joseph said something very beautiful in the book of Genesis chapter 50 verse 20, right? As this is after now his brothers are scared and are afraid that, you know what, you're probably going to kill us, you're probably going to put us in prison because we betrayed you. Joseph says, this is the book of Genesis chapter 50 verse 20. Joseph says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Meaning God was able to restore him. He was able to even make it better. Remember at the beginning when I said that when God restores, sometimes he makes it even better. He makes the situation even better. He makes your life even better than it was before. He restores to you your rightful position where you were joyful, where things were okay, but he even makes it better, you know. So, like, as you can see, as I've summarized the story, he was betrayed many times, you know. So many situations happened to him. I'm sure there were times where he felt like dying, where he just felt like, you know what, I don't think there's a way out of this situation, when he was in a pit, when he was in prison, you know, all of those kind of situations, hated and betrayed by his brothers, you know. But even after so many situations, you see how God used all of those situations to work out for his good, so that he becomes the ruler. He becomes literally a person of high status and high position, even after all of these unfair situations happened to him. So God restored to him all the years that the locust has eaten, basically. God restored to him everything that had happened to him. God was able to be like, okay, you know what? These ones meant it for evil, as he said right now. He said, you guys meant to do me evil, but God meant it for good. So meaning God is able to take all of these painful situations that happened to you, all of this betrayal. All you need to do is to just give it to him and pray and have faith that God is able to make it all work around for your good, so that you are put in a place where you don't look like your scars. You don't look like your past. You literally are in a very elevated place emotionally and even physically and even in your status, you know. And that's one of my favorite stories, again, you know, when it comes to restoration. And it actually reminds me of one of my favorite scriptures, again, in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 28. It says, all things work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So all things, whether it's good things and bad things, that's why you must not have any kind of regrets. You know, you must not have regrets as a child of God. I mean, the Bible says, give thanks. In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God for your life, or something along those lines, right? So you must not have regrets. Just trust that God is able to work it all out for your good, whether it's bad, whether it's bad things that happen to you. Yes, obviously, it's not to say that pretend like it doesn't hurt. By all means, talk to God and tell him that it hurts. Tell him that you don't like what's happening, right? Grieve and heal and be real about your scars and the things that you go through, you know. But just trust that God is able to use whatever kind of situation that has happened to you. He's able to use it and turn it around for your good, you know. So it's absolutely beautiful. This is one of my favorite characteristics of God, as I said, you know, God's restoring nature. God is literally able to take whatever thing that happened to us, whatever unfair situation. It's literally such a beautiful thing that God does in our lives, you know. So another verse that makes me so emotional, I have to say, another verse that makes me so emotional is in the book of chapter 61, if I'm not mistaken, verse 3, right? So verse 3 says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, right? So if we see properly here, we see that God is doing something so beautiful. He's saying something so beautiful to the nation of Israel that, guys, when you give me the spirit of heaviness, when you give me your mourning, when you give me your ashes, your brokenness, if you've been broken in this life, if painful things have happened to you in this life, if you give them to me, I can give to you beauty in a place of ashes. I can give to you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I can give to you the oil of joy for mourning. So if you give me mourning, everything that has hurt you, if you give me the ashes, the broken pieces of your life, you give them and hand them to me, I'm literally able to turn it all around and give you good out of what has happened. So literally, there's nothing that has happened in your life, whether it was caused by someone else, whether it was your consequences, but repenting and turning to God gives him the platform to literally, you know, make it all good. I mean, there's many people besides the examples that I've just made. For example, Jonah, who was sent to a different place, you know, to send a message, but then he was afraid, or whatever reason, he refused, and then he found himself in the belly of a fish. But then after 3 days and after his repentance, because inside that belly, I'm sure God made it on purpose to say, you know what, I don't want this nigga to die. I don't want him to die. Sorry for you for saying that nigga, but I mean, I'm in delete 2K, and you know that that's how we speak. But I'm sure God was like, this guy, I don't want him to die, but I want him to actually see that disobeying me has consequences. So I'll just keep him there until he comes back to his senses. And he did, and he repented. And then when he came out, God literally sent him to where he was supposed to go. Same thing happened with David. Similar thing happened with David. You know, when he sinned, when David sinned and killed a man because he wanted to sleep with his wife, Bathsheba, and take his wife and make the wife his own. Literally, things started going wrong. Their child died. And David actually repented. David came back to God and things happened properly for him after that point. He became king. And I mean, even the nation of Israel today is still known as, you know, the nation of David, you know, the Star of David. So it's very important to repent and come back to God, whether it was you, whether it was other people. Bring it all before God. Don't hide anything from God. Bring it and tell him that, God, this thing hurt me. These are the broken pieces. This is the mourning. This is literally everything that I've gone through. I trust and believe that your word says you can give me beauty for ashes. When I give you ashes, you can give me beauty. When I give you mourning, you will give me an oil of joy in return. You will give me a garment of praise in exchange for the spirit of heaviness, you know. So literally, God is a God that restores. But I just want to caution someone who's listening to say, sometimes people don't come back. You know, this is not an invitation for you to say, this is not an invitation for you saying that, okay, you can do whatever you want. You can, literally, you can do whatever, you know, you can go and God will restore. Because going out in the world and living a life that doesn't honor God has serious consequences. And some of them are literally so deadly and detrimental to the point where you might not even find your way back to God because the enemy has you in such a chokehold in the world to the point where you see no way back. Yes, there's always a way to come back to God. God will never cast you away. When you come back to him, he'll always accept you. When you come back in repentance, he'll always accept you. But some people die. Some people die literally. That's why the Bible says the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So when you're away from the presence of God, you're literally opening yourself up to the enemy. And the Bible describes him as a lion who's roaring, you know, looking for one whom he can devour, you know. So some people are mauled by that lion. Some people don't come back from that lion, you know. So it's safer to stay in the presence of God, to pray. But then if it so happens, because life happens sometimes, if it so happens that you stumble, come back to God as fast as you can, repent and trust God to work it all for your good and to restore you to the original position that you were in Christ before. So God specializes in renewal, in new beginnings. As I said, when he restores, sometimes he makes it even better than it was before. You know, the book of Isaiah, I love it so much in the 43rd chapter, Isaiah chapter 43, he says, forget the former things, don't dwell on the past. For I, your God, am doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness. I will make streams in the desert. Meaning God wants us to even forget about them. I mean, yes, it's not to say that don't deal with your scars and the things that have hurt you from your past, but please, by all means, bring them to God. Trust that when they're in the hands of God, they're in the safest hands, and God can heal you. God will literally make you forget everything that's painful that's ever happened to you, and God can work it out for your good, and God can restore you, restore your joy, give you the oil of joy for mourning, give you the garment of praise in exchange for the spirit of heaviness, you know, beauty for ashes. When you give him your ashes in your broken life, ashes basically, you know, represent brokenness. They represent, you know, things that have burned down, destruction. When you give him that, God is able to literally restore you. He literally specializes in that. So I don't know who this is for, but have faith in God, man. No matter how long you've been in a destructive, dark situation, there's a woman in the Bible, they call her the woman with the issue of blood. And I mean, we girls understand that, that we have a period in our month, you know, in every month where you're just bleeding. It's a part of how we've been created. And it's not a nice time. It's literally, I've never come across a woman that enjoys being in that time of the month. Now imagine that happening to you for 12 years. That's literally what happened to the woman. 12 years, she was bleeding, like there was nothing that she didn't try. But then her faith, she said, you know what? I know I've heard of this guy called Jesus and apparently he heals. And in a crowded place, she literally went in between the crowd and held the hem of his garment and said, you know what, if I could just hold a piece of his garment, just the hem of his garment, I know that my life will not be the same again. And because of that faith, she was literally restored to her original form. She was healed instantly. And imagine, like, especially at those times, you know, during that time, it was before Jesus died and rose again. So if you were a woman that was literally bleeding, you were considered unclean, you know. So for 12 years, I'm sure people didn't want to even be around her. But she came to Jesus and Jesus literally applauded her and said, daughter, your faith has healed you. So no matter how dirty you feel like you've been, no matter how far gone you feel like, come to God. God is able to restore you to your original form. He's able to bring back your innocence. He's able to bring back your joy. He's able to literally mend that brokenness. So bring it to God. Trust that God is a God that restores. All these verses that I've just recited here, the fact that he restores years that have been stolen by the locust, you know, the fact that he works things out for our good, the fact that he uses betrayal, even the consequences of our actions. Trust that God does it. Trust that he does it. Yes, we're not a people that intentionally stray and choose paths that don't honor God. Sometimes we do, and God is a God of mercy when we repent. But when you do, just remember, if you do stray and you choose and you make that choice of saying, okay, you know what, I just want to live a little and be away from God, actually forgetting that God is life himself and there's literally no life apart from him. And the best life is when you literally give your life to him, right? So when you stray and you do it like intentionally, just know that you might not come back, because just the enemy is so horrible. When he has you, he doesn't want to let go of you sometimes, you know, but there's still a place. There's still, like, if you want to come back, if you're listening to this and you want to come back to God, it's not too late. God is welcoming. He wants to welcome you. He wants to make things new for you again. He wants to restore you. He wants to renew you. He wants to make sure that you are back at the position you were in and even better. So come back to God. Come back to God. And we who are in God, let us hold on to God and trust that even the things that we brought to him when we first got saved and the things we keep bringing to him in our journeys as we continue in our relationships with him, let's trust that he's working. Let's trust that he is restoring every single thing. He's working it out for our good. I've come to the end of the episode this week. I pray that you guys have been blessed, and I believe that this episode is literally a blessing to everyone who hears it. And I believe that God will restore your life. And I'm praying for you guys each week. I'm literally praying for each and everyone of you guys. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Otherwise, don't forget that there's other podcasts as well under So It In Life. There's the SL Cabinet, there's Taking Rams by the Horns. And yeah, man, do listen to us, stream us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen on your podcast from. And also, don't forget to click that Iono link, listen to us from there as well. Until next time, you are loved, you are treasured, you are precious in your Heavenly Father's sight. God bless.